good evening all. I do apologise in advance for my voice coming off of a bit of a cold here, but hopefully the Divrei Torah will come through good and clear. But just before we begin the shiur this evening, wish to share a piece of Baruch Hashem good news. Our eldest son is engaged. So I still have my notes from the Monday night shiur when I announced his birth. So it's a good way of keeping track of our family, but Baruch Hashem, to a girl from a young lady from originally from Russia, currently in Yerushalayim, and should Mitz Hashem only hear and share good news from each other and with each other. So as we start the Parsha of Yisro, and Yisro comes, of course, to join B'nai Yisrael, and at the end of Rishon, which is the Perik Yudches Pasuk Yudbeis, we find the following. In other words, the first dozen or so psukim in the Parsha are Yisro hearing the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he's very taken with it, extremely excited and overwhelmed. And then Pasuk Yud Beis reads as follows. Perik Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe. So Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, takes Ola uzvachim lelokim. An Ola, a burnt offering, zvachim, other offerings, generally shlomim offerings, are called zvachim. Vayavo Aharon, v'kol ziknei Yisrael, and then Aaron and all the elders of Yisrael come, lechol lechem, to eat bread with Chosein Moshe, with Moshe's father-in-law, lifnei ha'elokim. And the pasuk is describing a celebratory feast, it seems. Yisro is moved to bring korbanos, and then everyone comes to eat with him. Everyone, it seems, except Moshe. Because Moshe is not mentioned there. You have Aaron, you have the elders, but Moshe has received Yisro, and we would assume is one of the two prime protagonists at this early stage in the Parsha, is conspicuously absent in mention from our Pasuk. And Rashi comments on this. And Rashi says, U'Moshe echan halach. Where did Moshe go? He's the one that went out to meet Yisro in the first place. He's the one that accorded Yisro all of this honor. Ella, says Rashi, Shaya Omed Umishamesh Lifnehem. Moshe wasn't one of the participants of the feast only because he was serving everyone. So he isn't one of those that came to the feast. He's the host, and he's serving everyone. That's why he's not mentioned as those who sat around the feast. This is Rashi's explanation, and I think it's quite well known. So Rashi, relatively early on in the Parsha. And yet, there's actually a question, an objection almost, that could be raised of this notion, and it is discussed by the Meshech Chachma. As we know, Moshe has the status of Melech, the halachic status of Melech. It's not the full monarchy in the way that we will see with David HaMelech and so on. But we already say, Vayhi Bishuron Melech, and that is a reference, to, according to the Gemara, to Moshe. Now, what are the ramifications of that status? As we know, there are certain individuals that the Torah commands us to honor, and some of them have the option of waiving their honor. If one is meant to stand up when they come into the room, they're allowed to say, no need to stand up. For example, parents, and also Talmidei Chachamim. We say, Rav Shemochal al Kavodo, Kavodo Mochal. If he's Mochal, and he forgoes his honor, it's acceptable. But Melech Shemochal al Kavodo, Enkvodomochel, the king does not have the ability to forgo his honor. And one of the reasons why is because his honor is the honor of the Jewish people, and he doesn't have the right to forgo that. As such, there should be a halachic problem with Moshe attending to the people at the Seudah, because Vayihi Bishurin Melech. It's an interesting shaila. And Meshech Chochma gives an equally interesting answer. If indeed the source of the idea that Moshe has the status of a Melech is from that pasuk Vayihi Bishurin Melech, which the Gemara says it is, how does that pasuk continue? Vayihi Bishurin Melech, there was a king in Yishurin, Behis Asif Rashi Am, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, when all of the heads and all of the tribes of the Jewish people are together. Meshech Chochma understands that the balance of the pasuk, the end phrases, are qualifying and placing for us. When is Moshe considered to be a king? When all of the Jewish people come together. And when did the Jewish people come together? The giving of the Torah is referred to in the Torah itself as Yom HaKahal, the day of the assembly, the day of the gathering together. It was the receiving of the Torah that bound the Jewish people together. That is a reference in the Pasuk itself. Of course, we're familiar with Rashi that we encamped in this week's Parsha. Ki ish echad belev echad vayichan sham Yisrael, as one person with one heart. All of this, the full unity of the Jewish people, was allowed by the receiving of the Torah. It's the Torah that unifies the Jewish people. Na'aseh v'nishma amru ke'echad. As such, says Meshech Chochma, we may have an answer to our question. There are opinions, and it's a shaila again in the Gemara in a number of places, Masechus Avodah Zarah and Zvachim, as to when are we to understand Yisro's arrival to the camp of the Jewish people. We have the Parsha begins with Yisro, it then moves on to the giving of the Torah. Is that the sequence of events as happened? Or is that how we're meant to understand? Or do we invoke the idea of Ein Mukdama Mu'ucha BaTorah and rather understand that Yisro arrived after Matan Torah? And there are opinions in the Gemara on either side. If we adopt the opinion that Yisro indeed came before Matan Torah, says Meshech Chochma, so then we will understand that our problem has been solved. Because before Matan Torah, before Yom HaKahal, Moshe doesn't yet have the status of Melech. We don't yet have Bis Asif Rosh Am Shiachat Shivtei Yisrael, and thus there was no problem with Moshe attending to those at the feast. So we've taken care of one side of the equation. However, there is an opinion that Yisro came after Matan Torah. If it came after Matan Torah, Moshe is already a Melech, and therefore our question is, why is Moshe not mentioned in the Pasuk? Not so much where was he, but Aaron is mentioned and Moshe isn't. Why would that be? Is it because Moshe wasn't there? Says Meshech Chochma, not necessarily. It could be there's another reason why Aaron is mentioned in the context of this feast and not Moshe. And to understand why, let us see what were the component parts of this feast. The beginning of the Pasuk tells us, again Pasuk Yud Beis, that Yisro brought korbanos, ola uzvachim. And yet the very next phrase in the Pasuk, the second half of the Pasuk, says that Aaron and the elders, they came le'echol lechem, to eat bread with Yisro. Now, simple shaila, what was there? How is it that he offered korbanos and they ate bread? Well, says Meshech Chochma, as we know, there of all the korbanos that one brings, there is a korban that is famous for being accompanied by a lot of bread. And that is the korban todah. The korban todah is accompanied by 40 loaves of bread. And as we've mentioned many times, according to the Sforno, as elaborated upon by the Netziv, The reason why there's so much bread that accompanies the Korban Todah is in order to encourage him to get people to eat it with him, because you're not allowed to leave sanctified food over the allotted time. Why should there be people there with him? So that he can tell the story of why he's bringing the Korban Todah. As indeed, we say in Hallel, Lecha Ezbach Zevach Todah, which is the bringing of the Todah, Uveshem Hashem Ekra, and to call out in Hashem's name, that is to say, to let people know why a person is bringing the Korban Todah. And therefore, says Meshech Chachma, if you want to know why the primary component of that which was eaten at the Suda was bread, it was the whereas the beginning of the verse talks about Korbanos. What's bread got to do with Korbanos? This was the bread of the Korbanos, because these Zavachim, the Shlamim in question, was the particular branch of Shlamim, which is called a Korban Todah. And that is why it says that they ate it lifnei ha'elokim, because when you partake of Korban food, it has to be before Hashem, either in the allotted place or later on in Yerushalayim. That's called lifnei Hashem or lifnei ha'elokim. It describes a designated place. And it's for this reason, says Meshech Chochma, that the Pasuk makes more reference to Aaron than he does to Moshe. Why? Because of the 40 loaves that one brings as a Korban Todah, one of each type, there are four types, and one of each type, one out of each category of 10, is given to the Kohen. And therefore, Aaron is of the essence here. Aaron is actually a key participant in what is happening, because when we need the Kohen for purposes of those breads that are brought with the Korban Todah. And this, therefore, we see how it really ties everything together. We understand Moshe is not mentioned because Moshe eating in this Su'uda is not as significant halachically as Aaron, because we need the Kohen. Where did the bread come from? It's the Lachmei Todah. Classic Meshech Chochma. Now, what's interesting is the Meshech Chochma does not elaborate upon why Yisro was moved to bring a Korban Todah. And although one might say, well, it's obvious, it's Thanksgiving, a great miracle happened. A great miracle happened to the Jewish people. And Yisro is appraised of that. But is Yisro bringing a Thanksgiving offering because he's so grateful for what happened to the Jewish people? Perhaps there's more to it than that. Perhaps part of Yisro hearing the story of how things played out with the Jewish people and the Egyptians moved Yisro to bring a Korban Todah, a Thanksgiving offering, for himself. How so? Well, let us remind ourselves, the Gemara says in Masechet Sota and in Sanhedrin, famous saying of the Gemara, Shlosha hayu ba'osa etza. There were three personalities who were involved or present in the original meeting where Paro was thinking what to do about the Jewish people. Should he suppress them? Should he repress them? Should he persecute them, enslave them? Who were these three personalities? They were Yisro, Eov, and Bilam. And each of them reacted in a different way. Bilam was very pro the idea of persecuting the Jewish people. Eov kept quiet, and Yisro ran away in protest. And each one received a commensurate reward. Bilam was killed in a rather gruesome way when the time came. Eov was afflicted with the famous suffering of Eov, apparently to teach us that being silent never really helps. As we know, even a good person who remains silent never helps the victim, only ever emboldens the perpetrator. And Yisro runs away. And now, all those years later, as everything has unfolded, the Egyptians who plotted against the Jewish people have been destroyed. And the Jewish people themselves have emerged on top of the world as God's people. And now Yisro, when he hears this whole story, it's about the story of the Jewish people, but part of it is about the story of Yisro. Thank God all those years ago that I left, I protested when I did and got out when I did. Because if I would have remained party to it, I would have shared the fate of the Egyptians. And what's there for the halachic response to this? Korban Todah. It's amazing to consider. I think very moving. That alongside all the stories that Yisrael was hearing from the Jewish people about their experiences with Egypt, at this feast, Yisrael had a story of his own to tell about his experiences with the Egyptians, which actually predated all that persecution. And interestingly, according to Rabbi Shulev Diskin, this notion is actually to be perceived in the Pasuk, where, if we read carefully, Pasuk Tes, let's go back now to Perek Yudches, it's just a three Pasukim backwards, Perek Yudches Pasuk Tes, Vayichad Yisrael. Yisrael was happy, was rejoiced, Al Kol HaTova Asher Asa Hashem Li Yisrael, over all the good that Hashem did for the Jewish people. Asher Hitzilo Miyad Mitzrayim, who saved him from Mitzrayim. Now, many Mefarshim look at these two phrases and wonder, are they not saying the same thing? Meaning, let us go back again. Vayichad Yisrael, Pasuk Tes, Yisrael was happy. Al Kol HaTova Asher Asa Hashem Yisrael, over all the good that Hashem did for Israel. That more or less just encapsulates everything. And then the Pasuk concludes, Asher Hitzilo Miyad Mitzrayim, that Hashem saved Hitzilo, him, it, from Mitzrayim. What's that adding to everything? It's very difficult to follow everything with anything because you've already said everything. But that's why Rabbi Yehoshua Leib Diskin says that these two phrases are, number one, Yisrael is happy for all the good that Hashem performed for the Jewish people. And he's also happy about something else. Asher Hitzilo, who also saved him. Who's he? Yisrael. Hashem also saved Yisro from Mitzrayim by giving him the good sense and the fortitude of spirit to leave when he did in protest. So according to Meryl Diskin, I think this Meshech Chochma and the Meryl Diskin really tie in together. According to the Rabbi Shulev Diskin in Pasuk Tes, Yisro himself, he has a personal joy over everything that has happened for himself. And that's expressed three Pesukim later. In his Korban Todah, people come to eat bread with him. So these, I think, are wonderful comments of the Mefarshim with which to open the Parsha of Yisro. On the morrow, as the Pasuk says, we find that Yisro sees Moshe, and Moshe is judging everyone, and everyone's standing by Moshe, and Yisro doesn't think it's right, and Yisro is not the type to keep quiet if he thinks that something is not right. And he speaks up to Moshe. And he says, it's not good for you, it's not good for the people. And he suggests that you should set up the system of sorry, Meya, sorry, Alafim, sorry, officers over the hundreds and fifties and so on. Now, one of the psukim here, this is still in Perek Yudches, is Pasuk Kaf. So this is Yisro already giving his advice to Moshe. And as Rav Meir Shapira pointed out, he's called Yisro because he added the section of Va'ata Sechezeh, which is in verse 21. But he's already been speaking already from verse 17. That's four psukim. Hasn't he added those as well? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, to point out a problem is not called making a contribution. To offer a solution is contributing a parsha. So the first four psukim are saying, this isn't working, that won't work, this will... Okay, do you have an idea? Yes, Pasuk Kaf. Okay, now you're adding a parsha. That's Pasuk Kaf Aleph. But to go back to Pasuk Kaf, he says as follows, V'hizharta eshem. You shall exhort the Jewish people, es hachukim, es hatoros, the statutes and the Torahs, v'odat alahem, and make known to them as haderech yelchu ba, the way in which they should go, as hamaaseh asher yasun, and the deeds that they should do. So a seemingly innocuous sounding pasuk, the way they should go, the things they should do. There is a very interesting drasha, exposition, on this pasuk, on Yisro's words, and it's found a couple of times in the Gemara, in the end of Eilu Metzias, second parak of Bava Metzia, and also in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf. And every word of Yisro is expounded as referring to another mitzvah, or another area of Torah. For example, it says, you should show them es haderech. It says the Gemara expounds. Haderech means zuk milas chasodim. What's the next word? Yelchu. That they should go. Zu bikur cholim. Another mitzvah. Bikur cholim. So if we have gemilas chasodim, bikur cholim. Next. The next word is ba. Zu kvura. Burying the dead. Ve'es hamaseh, the deeds, the acts, ze'adin, that refers to justice, asher ya'asun, zu lefnim mishur sadin. That's going within the letter of the law. There's a whole program here coming out, being expounded from Yisro's words. He's a fountain of halacha. It's interesting, by the way, just to pay attention to the different mitzvahs that are seen as emanating from Yisro's words, particularly the word yelchu, is bikur cholim, is visiting the sick. That might sound very straightforward. How do you visit the sick if you don't go to him? He's not going to come to you. If he can, he's probably okay. And yet, questions have arisen closer to our time. The question was originally put to Rav Moshe Feinstein already back in whenever it would have been, the 50s or 60s. Is it possible to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim via a phone call? Now, in the time the question was asked, a phone call would be the most technologically advanced way of contacting someone. Of course, in our time, the question could be updated with each new medium of communication, and then the answer would be updated. But the answer, I don't think, changes. It's just phrased in terms of newer technology. Because Rav Moshe Feinstein says, when you think about all the things that one does the mitzvah Bikur Cholim for, to see if the person needs anything, and to offer them moral support, and to daven for them, the phone will only tell you so much. And a phone call will do a lot, but it will only do so much for the person. But it's not the same as visiting them in person. We're still at the stage where you cannot substitute for an actual person. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, if you're in a different state and you can't get to them, and this is all that's available is a phone call, so there's room to say that this is your mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. 100%. But if you're in the neighborhood, and you could visit, and you call, that's not called Bikur Cholim. Certainly not in the full sense of the word. It doesn't substitute for that. For all these reasons, the moral support is not the same. Everyone appreciates someone actually taking the trouble to visit them. And how interesting it is that coming back to our pasuk, the word that leads us to the mitzvah Bikur Cholim is the word yelchu. You have to go. That's the mitzvah. And so it is with all of these things. Now there is no question, and this is discussed by Reb Leib Mintzberg, Zatzal, in the Ben Melech. I mean, we are, without question, dealing in the realm of drash. That is to say, derech, yelchu, ba, gemilas chasodim, bikur cholim, that there's no question that is drash. And it's in the Gemara. And drash is the field of the Gemara. Interesting, and tellingly, or rather non-tellingly, there is no comment of Rashi at all on Pasuk Kaf. Because on a straightforward level, it's pretty much understood. And yet, as he so often emphasizes, says Reb Leib Mintzberg, the drash is not the pshat, but if they come from the same word, There has to be something about the pshat that is then elaborated upon, amplified, explicated, to give us and to be more formulated within the terms of drash. And the question is, what is it about the pasuk that all these mitzvahs start coming out from? The answer, says the Ben Melech, is that Yisro intuits that keeping the Torah is called a derech. That's where it begins. The Jewish people have never yet received a mitzvah in a way that's called a derech. And what is a derech? It's a way. What is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is an act or a deed. There is a certain development when we come to realize that keeping the mitzvahs of the Torah is not just a series of acts, but it forms a way of doing things, a way of looking at things, a way of going about things. These are, they don't just punctuate the day, they define it. And that is a breakthrough idea from Yisro, or formulated by Yisro. And thus he says, and what should you teach them? Saderech. And as soon as we see Yisro talking about the derech, what are the implications of defining the Torah as a way? It means there's so many other things that one might otherwise might not have associated necessarily with Torah in a formal way or in a direct way, which are now absolutely part of Torah. Aside from the general v'ahavta lo'echa kamocha, of course, as Rambam says. But in other words, once you say the Torah is a way, so then all of a sudden, there's so many situations in life and there's a Torah way to act. Someone is in need, help them. Isn't that what the way of the Torah is? To develop goodness within the person beyond the particular mitzvah that a person might be doing. And if a person is sick, visit them. Help them. If a person needs other things, help them. And sometimes you need to act in accordance with the law, Zedin, and sometimes you need to go Lifnim Mishur Zedin. And it's part of the way of Torah. So in other words, it's almost like in compact form, as soon as you say the word Derech, Yelchuba, so many possibilities open up. And the Gemara is attentive to this. And it starts to assign names and looks closer at what is Derech, and what is Yelchu, and what is Ba. And this highlights an idea which is so important, of course, the notion that the laws of the Torah they're almost like points that were meant to join them all together, and then a picture emerges. And the Torah doesn't always talk about any particular situation, but if you listen, it does. There's an interesting expression that we have in last week's parsha, in Mara, we spoke about Mara, Choku Mishpat, B'Sham Nisahu, and there you have the pasuk, if you listen to Hashem, B'Shamata Chokukav, V'Ha'azanta L'Mitzvosav. And if you listen to his mitzvos, that's an unusual expression, I think it's the only time in the Chumash, to listen, I mean, Lishmoa is to heed a mitzvah, Nasa V'Nishma, but L'Ha'azin, like to give ear to a mitzvah, what is it saying? The answer is, it's always saying something. It's got a message. Every mitzvah has a message. Some of them speak in a way that it's easier for us to tune into than others. But the full concept of Kabbalah Satorah is keep the mitzvah and get the message. And then you're on the way. And then Torah for you is a way. And we're mindful of the comment of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. That's how we say it. Depending if you're in there, just on the chutzlaret, nusach sfarad, Ashkenaz, that if a person kolashona halachas b'chol yom, move dachlo shu ben olam haba. One who keeps halachas, learns halachas every day, reviews halachas, so he's a ben olam haba. What is the source? Halichos olam lo. And halichos are ways. Olam lo, the world is his. Says the Gemara, of course, as we know, al tikri halichos. El halachos. Read not ways, read halachos. Except why should we not read it the way that it's written? It says halichos. Why should we read it differently? But al-tikri means notice the similarity between these words. And if you understand these associations, you get deeper understanding of the pasuk as it is written. See the, as Maral says in many places, see the connection between halichos and halachos. What does it mean? Halachos are laws, halichos are ways, but they both come from the idea of holech. When your halachos become halichos, when the laws chart a path for you in life, so then you're on a good path. That's a ben olam haba. And that's called shona halachos. Review the halachos. Be sure to be attentive to them. You see, very often they have a lot to say beyond the particular mitzvah that you're involved in. And just before we move on to other matters, hard to leave Parshas Yisro without mentioning the classic example, which Rashi himself points out. At the end of the Parsha, the halacha states, "Velosale b'malus al-mizbechi." You shouldn't go up to steps on the mizbech. It should be a ramp. Why? It's considered immodest. It's degrading. A person would use steps instead of a ramp. It's not excessively degrading, but enough for the Torah to say, use a ramp and not steps. And then Rashi says, you know, there's a kal v'chomer here. After all, this step doesn't care. Stones don't care. If you degrade them, they're indifferent. And still the Torah says don't degrade them. So what about your fellow who does care? Who is sensitive, who has feelings, so be sure not to degrade him. It's an amazing, amazing lesson from Rashi. But what's that called? That's called listening to the mitzvah. It's not that hard to fulfill the mitzvah of not building steps up to the altar. I think it's a mitzvah that, it's a prohibition that most of us can quite easily avoid. It's a good one for beginners, just to initiate them into avoiding prohibitions, not to build steps up to the altar. No one does. But what if you step all over the person next to you, to your right and to your left? So that means that you kept the mitzvah and you missed the message. That means that the halachos didn't yet become halichos. And maybe you're heeding the mitzvah, but you're not listening to it. So these are, once again, how wonderful how it comes out from this really one phrase of Yisro, said, Derech Yelchuba. As soon as Yisro expresses things in that way and intuits that element of what Torah is, so then Chazal continue and pick up on the micro signals and a reminder, as we always need them, that the Torah is not a series of acts, but it's a collection of mitzvahs that form, ultimately, a way. From here, I'd like to move to something at the center of the parsha, which, of course, is the Aseres HaDibros. And within the Aseres HaDibros, we have the famous Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho. So that is in Perek Kaf, Pasuk Ches. Zochor es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho. Now, these words, Zochor es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, of course, there's more to the Dibur than that. I mean, you have most of Kiddush on Shabbos morning. It comes from here, depending on your minhag, but there's a good four or five psukim here. But it begins with Zochor es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho. And this is a positive mitzvah. It's called the mitzvah of Kiddush. And it's worthwhile being attentive to the details of the mitzvah or the makeup of the mitzvah. What is it and how does it come to be the way that we do it? As we know, practically we make Kiddush in the night and in the day, both times just before a su'uda and both times over wine, over a kos. The notion of having Kiddush at a Suda specifically is Durabanan, as is the notion of making Kiddush over a Kos. Meaning, this is the way that the Rabbanan said is the the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar, of Zohar Yom Shabbos Lekatcha, of Kiddush. But that's all the Rabbanon. On a Deoraisa level, on a pure Torah level, one doesn't need a cup and one doesn't need a Suda, but rather it's words themselves, just with words. As the Mogen Avraham famously points out, based on the Rambam, by the time a person has Davin Ma'ariv on Friday night, he has effectively fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush, because of all the things he said about Shabbos during Ma'ariv. And the mitzvah is to make Kiddush once on Shabbos. In the evening, one makes Kiddush, that's the Torah mitzvah. That means that Kiddush on Shabbos day is also Derabbanan. So having, in a sense, worked backwards from the way that we know Kiddush is, and the way Kiddush should be, as per the Derabbanan, but to work back to the mitzvah on a Torah level, which of course is the kernel within the whole thing, are the words themselves of Kiddush. And now we are ready to raise the question, what is the mitzvah of Kiddush? What exactly are we doing when we make Kiddush? Certainly a worthwhile question. Such a beloved mitzvah. This is the positive mitzvah alongside the predominantly negative mitzvahs of the malachas of Shabbos. The two go together. Zohar v'shamar. What is the background to this question? After all, the words seem to speak for themselves, right? Zohar v'shamar Shabbos l'kadsho, and there you have it. Why do we need to pause and try and open things up a little bit? Because we see that the way the pasuk begins and the way that pasuk ends seem to be two somewhat different ideas or entities even. It starts with Zohar, remember, when Zohar is Yom HaShabbos, and ends with Lekadsho. We are familiar with the concept of Zohar. There are certain mitzvahs that only have a Zohar element. There are other mitzvahs that only have a Lekadsho element. And they're quite different from each other. And let's give examples of each, and then we'll try and see where Kiddush falls. There are certain mitzvahs in the Torah where the focus of the mitzvah is to remember. With what in mind? With remembering in mind. What is an example? Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every day? Laman tizkor yom tzeischem eretz Mitzrayim. At which we say, at the end of Shema, Asher tzeischem eretz Mitzrayim, Mimitzrayim galtanu. And in the evening as well, Kol yimechayecha, as we know, Halelos. So there is a mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's important to remember. For us, just a few weeks' time, there'll be a mitzvah of Zohar, of Amalek. Zohar is the Shasal HaAmalek. Neither of those two mitzvahs have a Kiddush element to them. When you remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's not with the goal of sanctifying it. And when you remember Amalek, we for sure do not want to sanctify them, unless we use the term in a highly euphemistic way. So that's Zohar. It's its own thing. Conversely, we will find other mitzvahs where the focus of the mitzvah is to be Mekadosh something. And not only to be Mekadosh an object, but to be Mekadosh times. Like Kiddush HaChodesh. HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rosh Chodeshim, to sanctify the new moon. Mekudosh Mekudosh. Or Kiddush HaYovel, sanctifying the 50th year. Right? V'kidashtim Shnasa Chamishim Shana. So that is now very interesting. Once we have seen that we have pure Zohar type mitzvahs, which is a self-contained value and entity, and we have pure, on the other hand, Kiddush mitzvahs, and now we come to a mitzvah that has both, or more correctly, uses both expressions, shall we ask, to which category does it significantly belong? Is it in the Zohar camp? The focus really is remembering. Or is it in the Kiddush camp? The focus is on sanctifying? And of course, the follow-up question to that will be, once we've succeeded in identifying which camp it belongs to, what role does the other term play within the mitzvah? So let us begin, and as we will see, this matter seems to be the basis of two different views between Mishonim, Rambam and Ramban. Let us take them one by one. Al-Achas, Achas. The Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Kaftes, says as follows. Perek Kaftes, Pasuk Aleph, of Hilchos Shabbos. Mitzvah saseh min haTorah. It's a positive mitzvah, lekadish yom haShabbos b'dvarim, to be kiddush b'dvarim, sheneemar, zochor yom haShabbos lekadisho. The source is our pasuk. And what does it mean? Kilomar, as if to say, says Rambam, zochrehu zechiras shevach v'kiddush. Remember it, a remembrance of praise and of holiness. In other words, for the Rambam, Zochor is the mitzvah, to remember it. Now, what should you remember? You should remember it's a special day, it's a holy day, right? Divrei Shevach v'Kiddush. In other words, just to be clear so that this it's a nuanced point, the word lekadisho isn't something that you're doing. Zochor is what you're doing. Lekadisho is the way that you're doing it. Zochor means you're meant to remember anything particular. Yes, remember it's a special day. It's a holy day. Why do I need to remember that it's a holy day? Because the pasuk says lekadisho. Now, sometimes the word lekadesh, a verb is used, but it's not so much to bring about that effect, but to appreciate it. Like we say in Ashrei to Hashem, Arumimcha Elokai HaMelech, which literally sounds like we're saying to Hashem, we will elevate Hashem. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, it doesn't mean that. You can't elevate Hashem, but you can appreciate His elevation. So the verb is l'romem, but it means to appreciate it. So l'kadisho means appreciate the Kedusha of Shabbos and talk about it through Zohar. And this is borne out, this idea that it's really soundly in the remembering camp, Kiddush. By a comment of the Rambam elsewhere, it's a famous opening to Seder night, where the Rambam says it's a Torah mitzvah to speak about the miracles, everything Hashem did on Seder night. Sheneemar, as the Pasuk says, Zochores ha-yom hazeh asher yetzasa mi-Mitzrayim. Remember this day that you came out of Mitzrayim, which according to the Rambam is a source for telling the story on Seder night, Kumoshin Emar Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos. Just like it says Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos. All the Meforshim want to know, why is the Rambam feeling the need to buttress and support the understanding of Zohar Es Yom of Yetzias Mitzrayim with Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos Lekadisho? That is probably the basis of at least 50% of Shabbos HaGadol drushas in history. But at any rate, what we do see is that the Rambam has clearly equated the two Zohars. Remembering Shabbos is like remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's to remember. And interestingly, as Rav Osher Weiss points out, the Rambam goes on to say in this opening halacha of Kiddush that it's a mitzvah to remember Kaddish v'tzorech lezochreyu b'knisoso uv'yetzioso, in the beginning and the end. Meaning Kiddush and Havdalah. There is room to say that the Rambam sees Havdalah as part of the Torah mitzvah of Zohar. Remember it when it comes in and when it goes out. So this, therefore, is Rambam's position with regards to the mitzvah of Kiddush. It's a remembering mitzvah. Like Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, the Ramban, in his commentary to our parsha, I crave your indulgence, in the interest of being able to finish this shiur with words still coming out of my mouth. I just need to get a refill. Okay, thank you. Apologies. A rabbi is never allowed to be lost for words. So the Ramban, in his Pirush on the Torah, when he describes the mitzvah of Kiddush, says, you know what Kiddush is like? You know what making Kiddush on Shabbos is like? It's like sanctifying the Yovel year. That is an amazing thing to say. Because when you sanctify the Yovel year, the focus is undoubtedly to sanctify. You now render the years, and that's the goal of the mitzvah. Not just to remember that it's Yovel, but to sanctify the year. Like Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush HaYovel. And what this means is that according to the Ramban, the focus of the mitzvah, the fulcrum of the mitzvah, is the word lakacho. What you're doing here is you need to sanctify Shabbos. The focal word is the word lakacho. Now it begins with the word zocher because that's how you do it. Remember Shabbos and speak about Shabbos with the goal of sanctifying it. That's the goal of the mitzvah. That's the effect of the mitzvah. That's the process of the mitzvah. And it's very interesting. Reb Leib Mintzberg is back in again in one of his ma'amarim to the parsha. It makes a disarmingly simple comment, but it's very thought-provoking. The mitzvah that we're talking about is called Kiddush. Kiddush means sanctification. It's a verb. Says Reb Mintzberg, if Kiddush is a verb, and that's the mitzvah, it sounds like you're doing something. Because if it's to recognize the Kedusha of Shabbos, well, there's a word for that. It's called Kedusha. We use it elsewhere. Very interesting observation. What could we take more for granted than the fact that it's called Kiddush? Kiddush is practically an English word by now. But if you think about it, Kiddush means you are sanctifying. There's just one question. What exactly are you sanctifying and what are you doing? And the background to the question is the Kedusha of Shabbos comes ready bestowed by Hashem. It's not like Yom Tov, where Beis Din give the Kedusha to the Yom Tov, where the Jewish people give the Kedusha to the Yom Tov. As we say in the conclusion of the Yom Tov blessing, Hashem is Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmane. Because he's, as the Gemara says in the 7th Perek of Brachos, he's Mekadesh the Jewish people, he's Mekadesh Yisrael, and Yisrael Mekadesh the Zmanim. But we don't say that Hashem is Mekadesh Yisrael v'hashabbos. We say Hashem is Mekadesh HaShabbos. So what is the notion of sanctifying something that's already sanctified? Does such a thing even exist? It happens to be that it does. And this is pointed out by the Tosfos in the collection of comments from Tosfos, Moshev Zakenim. When the firstborn emerges from the womb, firstborn animal, so that it needs to be brought as a korban. Generally, to bestow korban status to an animal, you need to pronounce it hekdesh. The bechor emerges from the womb as kodesh. And yet, the Torah says, kadesh li kol bechor. There is a mitzvah yet to sanctify. Says Tosfos, what do we see? An unusual situation. Normally, you sanctify something if it's not yet sanctified. Here, it already is, and you still have to sanctify it. And now the question is, does it then reach attain a higher level of sanctity? We also say in the Tefillah, Am Mekadesh Shvi. The people are Mekadesh the seventh day. It's already Kadosh, and they are Mekadesh it more. It's an amazing situation. And what turns out is a bit of an irony, and this is a good way to sum up, but what more important discussion to have, or relevant discussion halachically to have, in Parshas Yisro than the mitzvah of Kiddush? What are we doing when we say Kiddush? Where's the focus? Zohar or Lekacho? Are we remembering? Are we sanctifying? Rambam and Ramban. That according to the Ramban, ironically, since the focus is on Lekacho, and you do that by talking about it, there's no specification of what you need to say. You can say anything, seemingly, special about the day, and that's how you're Mekadosh it. Remember it, and that's how you'll be Mekadosh it. But according to the Rambam, Lekacho is the content of what you say. So there's more particularity and insistence as the content of what the Kiddush should have, even on a basic level. And this, of course, brings us to the famous comment of Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his Hagos to the Shulchan Aruch, where the Magen Avraham says that you're Yotzei, even in davening, on a Daraisa level, as we said, by talking about Shabbos, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, just how much do you need to say to fulfill the Daraisa mitzvah? Or just how little do you need to say? And Rabbi Akiva Eiger raises the possibility that it could be that all you need to say is good Shabbos to someone, and you've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush on a Daraisa level. Now, there's really two chidushim there. Firstly, you haven't really elaborated much. And moreover, you didn't even speak in praise explicitly about Shabbos. It's implicit. Shabbos must be a special day if you wish a person good Shabbos. And still, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it could be enough. Many poskim ask, what about the Rambam? The Rambam says it needs to be Shevach v'Kedusha. You didn't say any of those things. So Mefarshim point out that for the Ramban, there is more, it's easier to understand what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying. As soon as you say good Shabbos, if that's an implicit statement that Shabbos is a special day, that's your Zohar, which leads to Lekadsho. Needless to say, much more to say. Saying good Shabbos to someone is a very good thing. Continuing to actually make Kiddush, equally good. But these are some of the classic comments. Such a fundamental question with regards to this mitzvah that we have, Baruch Hashem, each and every week. Let us conclude this evening by referring to a section of the Haftorah of Parshas Yisro, and that is from the Navi Yishaya, Perek Vav. Now, interestingly, Perek Vav, of course, being chapter 6, is not the first Perek of the Sefer, but it actually describes the very first prophetic experience of Yishaya. The opening of Yishaya, chapter 1, Chazon Yishayahu, it was not the first, it opens the Sefer for various reasons, but the description of how he came to attain Nevuah is in Perek Vav. He has his vision of the angels, V'karov Zelzeva Amar, V'kar Zelzeva Amar, Kadosh Kadosh, etc. And let us have a look at one of the psukim here. It's Pasuk Ches. When he's overhearing, Hashem says, Vayishma es kol Hashem omer. I heard Hashem saying, Hashem's voice saying, Es mi eshlach umi elech lanu. Who should I send? Who will go for us? Va'omar, and I said, says Yishayahu, I said, Hineni shalcheini. Here I am. Send me. And this is Yishayahu offering to be a Navi on the part of the Jewish people. If he was allowed to overhear it, it's for a reason. It's an invitation. And there are two or three very simple and straightforward questions if we pay attention to this pasuk and try and do justice to it. Go back again. How does it begin? Pasuk Ches. I heard Hashem saying, Es mi eshlach umi yelech lanu. Who should I send and who will go for us? Is that not a double phraseology? Are those not two ways of saying the same thing? If you send someone, they go for you. But these seem to be two different things. Secondly, when Hashem talks about sending, it's in the first person. Es mi eshlach, who shall I send? But then the next phrase says, Umi yelech lanu, who will go for us? What's behind the change from Hashem sending to him going for us? And the more we realize that these are two different things, it's then also noteworthy that when Yeshayahu responds and he says, here I am, shalcheini, send me. Well, that's only a response to one of the things. If there's another thing, mi yelech lanu, he should have said, here I am, shalcheini, send me, ve'elech lachem, and I will go for you. Very interesting questions, you mean. When you stop and look at a pasuk, a lot can happen. These questions are raised by the great Rabbi Azaria Feggio of Venice in the 1500s, in the Drosha's Bina Le'itim. And he explains, there's actually two types of nevuah as we know, meaning messages for the Jewish people. There's positive, there's good news and bad news. There's positive messages and there's other messages which are much harsher. You might be foretelling of good times, maybe of difficult times. Now, in the end, the Jewish people might need to hear both of them, depending on what situation they're in. And it all comes from Hashem, ultimately, of course. But the difference between them is, as the Medrash says elsewhere, Hashem does not associate himself with evil. He doesn't associate his name with evil. Meaning evil is never really the essential goal. And therefore, even if it happens, it's always detached a little bit from Hashem. And by the same token, the concept of the heavenly tribunal, Bez Din Shalmala, which is Din, often has a much more judicious aspect to it. It often reflects the strict letter of the law. Putting it all together, says Rabbi Azaria Feggio, what Hashem is saying is, I need a Navi. And the Navi will be called upon to do two things. One of them is called Eshlach. And why is that called Shlichus? Because Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. If you are categorized as someone's Shaliach, it's like you represent them and identify with them. But it's in the first person, because this is Hashem, for the mercy of Hashem, that might be in spite of what the heavenly tribunal decrees up he did. So that's called Shlichus, Eshlach. Hashem alone sends this person, and the Navi is the Shaliach of Hashem for good news. And Hashem associates himself intimately with good news. So therefore, the prophet is called his Shaliach, absolutely. But there's another type of message that may need to be. Maybe it's bad news. Maybe the people need chastising, or even to be told of calamity. Is that also Shlichus? Not fully. What's that called? Yelech lanu. Going for us. Who is us? The Bez Din Shalmala. This is Din. But that's not called Shliach anymore. Because Hashem doesn't identify with it. This shouldn't have to happen. It is a necessary. But it shouldn't be there. It's a contingency. Nevuah. These are the two ideas. Who shall I send? Who shall go for us? And what does Yeshayahu says? Hineni. Shacheni. He only says Shacheni. What does Shaya mean? I don't want to be a prophet for bad news. I don't want to go for the Bez Din Shalmala to speak on their behalf, but not identify with them. Shalcheini means I only want the type of nevuah that is directly coming from Hashem, and I will be a shaliach because I want to say good things to the Jewish people. I want to tell them about happier times and give them encouraging news. That's what's behind the pasuk. Of course, the balance of the Haftorah is that sometimes in order to get to the good news, there's things that need to be fixed. And that can be a rough road sometimes. And as the Haftarah goes on, it's a harsh message for the Jewish people. But Yeshayahu is on record as saying, and which of course every Navi, that's what does he want if not to prophesy good things for the Jewish people? And so, as much as the Sefer Yeshayahu opens with Chazon Yeshayahu, one of the prophecies that he would have preferred not to have given, you have to open that way, because if there's problems, they need to be fixed. But when they are, all the positive prophecies are waiting of Yeshayahu as the Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things of the Yeshuas and the Chomos, which he tells in the balance of the Sefer, which we hope to see fulfilled, b'mehera b'yameinu amen.